Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me is our producer, Lee Cantor, and my buddy, Todd Schnick. How's it going, Todd?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Stone. Actually, I think our rock star lifestyle last week did me, and I was best bedridden all weekend battling flu-like symptoms, but I'm doing better today.
Started to catch up with you, huh?
It's hard work being a rock star.
So tell our listeners what we did last week. We really did have a blast.
Oh, we had a great time. We had the inaugural road trip of the Video Dust Jacket Tour. Went to Orlando, Florida, spent 2 days interviewing phenomenal offers and getting to know them and all that. So we had a great trip. I think the Dust Jacket Tour is off to a roaring start.
I do, too. We stayed in a little hole in the wall called Caribe Royale.
It was a hole in the wall. It's perfect for you and I.
Yeah, we stopped by the Old Times Buffet on the way down. I got some collard greens and some fatback, so I was happy.
I had never seen a human being actually eat fatback. It was quite an interesting experience.
It was an education for you, wasn't it?
It sure was.
But you can catch up on the tour on the website at highvelocityblog.com, and I have a feeling that Todd and I will take every opportunity to keep you posted throughout the weeks as we go. And we've got we came back to Atlanta. We did another author's perspective interview on Friday. We've got more this week, and I think you and I are sequestered in the editing suite with those guys a lot of this week, aren't we?
We have an awful lot of editing to do. It's going to be a busy, busy week.
Well, we have a marvelous show for you this morning. First up on the High Velocity Radio Show, I am delighted to introduce to you a gentleman by the name of Ramon Williamson. He's a speaker, an author, a consultant, and he is actually coming through town. He's down here on business. I believe he spent much of the weekend at a different conference, so we'll ask him about that as we get the show off the ground. Welcome to the show, Ramon.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, we are delighted to have you. So, yeah, that's as good a place to start as any. What were you up to this weekend?
Well, I was here in town leading a weekend. About once a quarter, we do a private weekend for our coaching clients where they come together and refocus. They step outside of their business. They take a look at what's worked, what hasn't worked, and identify the most important priorities to move forward in their life and in their business.
So tell me a little bit about this coaching, because I think for some people, and certainly for me, sometimes it can feel a little bit nebulous. What does coaching and effective coaching really entail?
Well, you know, all of us are familiar with the idea of coaching. You know, we think about athletes. That's probably the first thing that comes to mind. But also executives and business owners at all different levels of success leverage the power of coaching, which is simply a strategic partnership. It's a kind of accountability, helps you focus on your most important priorities and take the action for results. I got started with the idea in 1986. At the time, I was speaking in the financial services industry. And I remember a vice president came to me and he said, you know what, you're really great. We see a tremendous change when you come in, but we can't afford to keep bringing you in every week. So you've got to figure out a way to make the idea stick. And really, that's where coaching was born for me, because I came up with a way of following through with the participants in the seminar incrementally so they focused on a specific idea to integrate it into their life and business. And that's really how I got started with coaching in 1986 and later got involved with some others that were turning it into a profession, and really the rest is history. Now there are more than 300,000 people across the nation who are involved in helping small businesses and individuals and executives in large companies to focus on their goals and to do better every day.
And, you know, I accidentally, and okay, maybe not so accidentally, overheard a little bit of a conversation you were having in our conference room before we came on the air. You were on the line with a client, and I got to tell you, it sounded to me like you were sort of holding their feet to the fire a little bit. And so accountability must be an important part of this whole coaching process.
Absolutely. Actually, I was on the phone with more than 1,000 individuals.
Oh, you were?
For something that we call Monday Huddle.
Ah.
And Monday Huddle is a 20-minute focusing time to help people identify the most important priorities, our clients and our members, so that this week is an outstanding week for them. And we actually focus on 5 specific focusing questions and really help them integrate what they ought to do into what they actually do.
Is some of your advice centered around personal branding at all? You know, we have a lot of folks come through the show, and that term, personal branding, just seems to come up over and over again, doesn't it, Todd?
Yeah, it does.
So does any of your work focus on personal branding?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the way I sort of became slightly famous is actually working with celebrities in Hollywood who were looking to what I coined brand their brilliance, to go beyond what they were doing on television or film and to take their brands and make them real in products and services and building a business around who they were. And so the idea of personal branding is very obviously very real for me because I'm doing a lot of it in terms of myself. But I think the idea of personal branding is really accessible to everybody, and I think we're living in a time now where you can't afford to ignore your story and to recognize that there's incredible value in who you are. And as you learn to articulate that and to really bring that into your business, into your career, what it does is it differentiates you from all of the other people out there who, quote unquote, do what you do. And so as you begin to focus on that and really value it, and today with the advent, for example, of the internet and social media and all the other tools, you really have an opportunity to really carve out a unique space for yourself in the world and to let your voice be heard in unique ways that were never available before.
As a coach, you said that there were a lot of coaches out there. How does an individual find the right coach for them?
Well, I think fundamentally you've got to and really that's a great question, Todd. And I think the fundamental thing you've got to do is, first of all, decide, are you coachable? You know, because, you know, not everybody is. At one point in my life, I probably wasn't very coachable. But I think that's the first question you ask is, you know, am I coachable? And then the second question is, what do I really want to accomplish in my life? You know, one of the things that I encourage people to do, and we have a 5-part introduction to coaching that I deliver by email. And the first question that I ask is, what are the 3 most important goals that you want to accomplish over the next 90 days? And so once you're clear about that, I think there are 2 things to look at. Number one, is the coach or does the coach have specific expertise in working with the kind of person or the kind of business that you're in? That's always very useful because it gives them a unique context where they can really help accelerate what you're doing. The other thing I think is important is, do you connect with the person? I believe that they're fundamentally people and places and situations that unlock you. And I think it's important to figure out and to connect with that person that unlocks you. In other words, everybody can't be coached by everybody, but there is a coach for you. And if you'll take the time to connect, and I usually suggest that people have an initial session with a coach, have a talk with them, talk about your goals and your dreams. And if there's a connection there and you're unlocked and they've got the kind of information and expertise that can help you accelerate, it makes a big difference.
This whole coaching business strikes me as something that would be a lot easier, would go a lot better if you're working with someone that's sort of on the rise, you know, like Stone, you know, when they're on the rise. But what advice, if any, or how do you go about working with someone that's really sort of fallen off the deep end and they need that turnaround?
Well, interestingly enough, a large number of our member clients are in that place. Hmm. Oftentimes people get to the place where they're stuck or they've reached or done what they feel they could do in terms of their career in business. And my experience is that working with a coach or really being engaged in any kind of conversation, they begin to expand their vision. They begin to get a bigger vision for their life. And I think that's really the first step, that wherever you are right now, if you're feeling stuck, you feel like you've hit the ceiling, or maybe you're facing the economy or whatever else you think, to really expand your vision, to look beyond what's present and to really see what's available to you in your life. And as you engage in a conversation about that, I see all kinds of possibilities begin to emerge.
I want to talk about your book, Six Simple Things That Can Change Your Life. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about that. I also want to hear what some people are saying about it. I will tell our audience that a couple of people that you probably recognize have commented on this book, people like Mark Victor Hansen, who's one of the co-creators behind Chicken Soup for the Soul, people like Seth Godin, people like Brian Tracy. Pretty impressive list of people. Tell us about the book and what others are saying about it.
Yeah, you know, Six Simple Things is a very interesting story about it because I had been intending to write a book for years. And it got to the point where it was obvious that I needed to write a book, and I hadn't written a book. And it was interesting that it was actually one of my clients who had come to a weekend very similar to the one that we just hosted here in Atlanta. And she said, you know what, it just makes no sense that you don't have a book. I mean, you've coached best-selling authors, you've helped people write books in 90 days, and you don't have a book. What's up with that? So I say, you know, like, well, what could I say, really? And so she comes over to my house. And I mean, really, it's a true story. She comes over to my house, and over a period of 3 days, she actually coaches me through this process. And we get this book talked out on flip chart paper. And really, Six Simple Things was really an understanding of the six things that made the biggest difference for my clients over nearly two decades. And so I simply walked back through the relationships, you know, what I'd done with celebrities, what I'd done with executives, entrepreneurs, everyday people, and just figured out what were those six things that they did or the six ideas that it made the biggest difference in their life. And that's how Six Simple Things was born.
So what are a couple of those ideas? We won't cannibalize your book, but we'd love to hear one or two right here while we're on the air.
Well, you know, one of the biggest ideas that's made a huge difference for people is the idea that your mess is your message. You know, all of us throughout the course of our life experience all kinds of twists and turns, ups and downs. I was really inspired this morning as I was on the way to the show to hear the story of Cammy. Here was a woman who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and made a unique decision. And her decision was to give 29 gifts in 29 days. And it completely changed her life. She took her mess, turned it into a message, and it's inspiring tens of thousands of people all over the world today to look for ways to give. I think of another woman who graduated from college with a great grade point average and a ton of debt, and her mess became her message. And today she's traveling all over the world. She just did a Time on the Morning show in New York where she was the coach for financial fitness and success. But she went and took that message that was there for her and is now impacting people all over the world and actually impacting college students and teaching them how not to be in debt. And so that's probably one of the biggest ideas from the book that has really produced thousands and thousands of success stories, that no matter what you've gone through, what you have experienced, even if you think it's a mess, that if you'll focus and identify the lessons, what's great about that, and how you can turn that around and really inspire people, it can become a life-changing message that can also turn into a business, as it has for many people.
Well, I'm feeling a lot better about my chances. How about you, Todd?
Hey, if people are being successful off of having a mess, then we're in good shape, you and me.
We ought to hit the top of the
charts. It's a funny thing, though. It's becoming a common theme on the show. People talking about adversity being something to jumpstart into the next phase, and people being talking about dealing with fear and overcoming fear and moving. So it's just funny that more and more people seem to be talking about this concept.
Well, I got to tell you, I just about fell out of my chair when you said you were on the phone with 1,000 people because I thought you were just wrapping up a conference call. But, you know, I guess it makes sense. Given the economy and the way our culture is simply evolving, I mean, there are, I guess, hundreds of thousands of people that have said, not going to go clock in and sit in my cubicle anymore. Have you witnessed that? And what kind of impact has that had on your practice and your life?
Well, I think today more and more people are recognizing that the things that they've put off in their life are ultimately the things that matter. So many people are working so that they can. And in the process, what they're really doing is they're ignoring the dreams of their life. I'm reading a very interesting book, and the gentleman talked about driving along in his car on the New Jersey Turnpike, and all of a sudden, you know, he's got this business that's doing, you know, 8 or $10 million a year. And all of a sudden, he realizes that he's not really happy, that he's not really living what he knows is inside of him. And specifically, you may know who I'm talking about, Gary over at Wine Library. And so he mm-hmm. says, you know what, going the way I'm going or doing what I'm doing now is not going to get me to my ultimate goal. And so in that moment, something really shifted with him. And he made a decision that, hey, you know, I've got to step in. I've got to make some changes. I've got to step up into a new way of operating. And obviously, the rest is history, and it changed everything. So I think more and more people are facing that reality that though they've got a little bit of success, they're able to pay the bills, there's this nagging dream inside of them that they want to make real. And so they're leveraging people like me, seminars and coaching and all of those kinds of things. But I think fundamentally, they're making a decision. In other words, you got one of two choices in life. You can either be impacted by what's going on outside. And most people think that there's something outside of them that's ultimately going to change their life, that just around the corner, yeah. there's one more idea, one more book or CD that's going to make the difference. But ultimately, what makes the difference is an internal decision that we make about our future. And that when we focus on that, when that gets clear for us and we make those changes, incredible, incredible things happen.
When I was bedridden this weekend, I got a chance to catch up on all my blogs I was falling behind on, and the common theme I see in all different kinds of blogs, talking about all different kinds of topics, was just get off your butt and just do it. If there's something you want to do, if there's an approach you want to make, if there's a new business you want to start, don't talk about it. Get off and do it. And you talk about, you know, are you coachable? And it seems to me that the biggest role that a business coach could do for me is to just hold me accountable and just get me off my butt and actually getting out there and doing the things I say I want to do. I mean, is that a big part of what you do as a coach, is just helping people say, hey, you got a dream, just do it?
Absolutely, and really create a context for it. Because for so many people, the dream is this big thing off in the distance. You know, they want to accomplish X, and X is huge. One of our clients shared a very interesting story this weekend about climbing up a mountain. That was one of his big dreams. And he'd gotten about halfway up the mountain, obviously. He was exhausted. He didn't realize how out of shape he was. And just at the moment when he was about to give up, he turns around and he looks back, and he realizes just how far he's come and the progress that he's made. And that released the energy, new energy, and that extra spark that it took for him to make the top. So often what we do is we focus on how far the dream is away. And the moment that we recognize the progress that we've made, we recognize the value, our unique value, our knowledge, our expertise, our network, our relationships, what we really care about, those things become the fuel, the spark then to move that dream forward. And really a part of what a business or life coach does is help you reconnect with that, where you appreciate it and you value it, and then you learn to leverage it to move forward. I think most people are a lot closer to their dreams than they imagine. And just for a moment, if they, you know, they take their eye off the struggle or how far they feel it's away, and recognize that it's really about making progress, not having everything perfect before you get started on it, you can really start and accelerate and get the results you want.
What do you think is the biggest obstacle? What's keeping them from thinking and acting in that fashion?
Well, Stone, it's not the economy. It's not what's going on in the world around them. It's not their lack of education. It's not that they don't have any money or training or that they were born on the wrong side of the tracks. You know, interestingly, my observation in working with thousands and thousands of people at all different levels of success, that fundamentally, the thing that holds us back is ultimately ourselves. And I'm actually writing a book that has a working title, Overcoming You.
I like
it. Oh, that's great.
Because you know, I think we are the ones that ultimately hold us back. You know, it's not anything out there, but it's ultimately the decisions that we make internally. And a big part of this, Stone, has to do with our own self-image. Now, we've heard that term probably a gazillion times on all kinds of personal growth and development and self-help kind of books or radio programs. And what it really means is that we make a decision about who we are. and what we're capable of. And until and unless – and then once we make that decision, we come up with this story. So you hear Stone, people will say things like, well, you know, I know that that could work for them, but here's my situation. And then they'll start rehearsing this whole story about why it couldn't possibly work for them. And by the way, one of the most important secrets or keys to overcoming you is that you got to be willing to give up that story. You've got to be willing to let go of that thing that you say that is the reason or more the excuse why you don't take action or why you don't follow through. And many people have elaborate stories about why they aren't pursuing their dreams or why they aren't taking action or why they aren't moving forward. And so my experience is that's ultimately what holds you back. And the moment that you begin to change how you think about you and what you think about your capability and what's possible, the moment you shift that, incredible, incredible things become possible. I mean, if you think about the most inspiring people in our history, something interesting Todd said earlier about the fact that more and more stories you hear about people overcoming adversity or they're overcoming fear. Well, they're not overcoming fear or adversity because somehow it's less for them. You know, the fear is just as real for them as it is for you. It is just as real for me as it is for you. But the difference is they made a different decision about what that meant. They took that as a trigger to step up. They took it as something to inspire them to move forward. They said, listen, I'm not going to let this fear or this obstacle or whatever it is stand in my way. I'm going to take action. I'm going to do something. This is not me. This is not what my life is about. And so all of a sudden they make a new decision and they get some new momentum. And I got to tell you that the power of making that decision, the power of simply stepping up and out of your comfort zone and into what your future can be, creates miracles in people's lives. It's really amazing to watch and to be a part of.
Well, it has to be incredibly liberating, I would think. Todd, we got to put Kansas City on our video dust jacket tour. I want to swing by and do a video dust jacket interview with Ramon for too long. So how long before the book will be out, you think?
Well, I'm working on it right now. I'm expecting to have it out the first of the year. In fact, I'm going to be doing a seminar too. In fact, Atlanta is going to be one of the stops in the seminars this spring.
Great.
Where we're going to do an Overcoming You weekend that's really not just about the personal growth or self-help stuff, but also practically what people can do in terms of their business, their career, to really accelerate it, to get out there, to get their message, their dream out there, and to make it real.
So how can our listeners follow you and stay in touch with you or contact you and find out more information about these books and your seminars and your coaching work?
Well, one simple thing that they can do is they can go over to www.radiogift.com, and because they're listening, they'll get a free CD and a copy of my first book, which is Six Simple Things That Can Change Your Life. So that's www.radiogift.com. And then if they've been thinking about this idea of coaching or if they're curious about it, they can give my office a call. It's toll-free, 800-934-8103, 800-934-8103. And we'll set up a time where we can talk and connect. And if it's right for them, I think we can help them.
Terrific. Well, listen, before we let you go, Ramon, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We'd like to ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career, and really, more importantly, what they feel like they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Only one? Probably the biggest mistake, as I think about my business and career over the years, was probably not shaving my head sooner. I know that sounds weird, but there's the tendency early on in our career to try to pattern ourselves after whoever is the person we most admire in our career, in our field, in our business. And there's the temptation that somehow being someone else or or trying to do it the way that they do it is going to be the path to success. And my experience and observation is that nothing could be further from the truth. That the moment that we have the courage to bring who we uniquely are, our unique personality, our stories, what we're about, the thing that gives us the edge in the marketplace, the moment that we decide to bring that to the table, everything can change, and it can put our career and our business on a whole new trajectory that leads to incredible, incredible success.
What marvelous and truly encouraging advice. It genuinely makes me feel a lot better about what I'm trying to accomplish, and I got to believe our listeners would feel the same way.
I agree.
It has been an absolute delight having you on the show this morning, Ramon. Can you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Todd, who we have up next?
Well, I'm excited to tell you about our next guest. Her name is Cindy Holtzman. She's the Director of Operations for Medical Refund Service, and they've been involved with medical bill reviews and insurance claims for almost 20 years. They specialize in finding medical billing errors, preparing insurance appeals, assisting with denied claims, and negotiating discounts for the uninsured. So welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Medical Refund Service.
I've been a licensed health insurance agent in Georgia since 1991 and had to fight a lot of claims at the time as an agent. I did a lot of service work for my clients. And in 1998, I was watching Primetime Live with Chris Wallace, and he started out saying there was a woman billed for dental work, except she had no teeth. So I immediately tape recorded that, found out that there was an organization called Medical Billing Advocates of America, and I called and joined and became the fifth member. And since then, we are now over 80 members strong. We have nurses, doctors, coders, certified compliance officers, and all kinds of people that really care about helping others.
I have to ask this question. How is what you do going to be impacted by the healthcare debate in Washington right now?
The thing that I'm thinking about is that the job of being an insurance agent may just go away the way that they're speaking about that. You go online and you pick a plan, and I don't know why they'd need an insurance agent at that time, so I'm kind of concerned about that part. But there will still be mistakes and errors, and that's where they're going to need our help to get something paid, because having any kind of insurance, healthcare reform is not going to make the mistakes and the errors go away.
Now, I listed a number of different things that you guys do. What is the most common problem that you have to deal with?
Personally, I'm more involved in fighting an insurance denied claim. It should take one phone call, and that's really what the problems are. There are problems. You make a call, and it becomes a seven-hour fight, and you win and get it paid, but it shouldn't be like that. And for most people, if they don't know about advocates, they just write the check, and the insurance companies and hospitals just really want you to pay and go away, but we stop that.
So how do you go about finding the right advocate? Is it sort of like, you know, we talked with our last guest who is a coach, and Todd asked him about, you know, how do you pick the right coach? Is there something to picking the right advocate or the right type of advocate?
Well, most people think that they should have an advocate in the state that they're living in, but that really doesn't matter. You need an advocate that's going to help your particular problem. Like, I specialize in the insurance business and advocacy of fighting insurance companies. There are many people that can really go through an itemized bill a lot better than myself. We do share the work. There's advocates all over the country. We work together in teams if necessary. And whichever way it has to go, we pretty much get the job done correctly. And we help a lot of people keep their homes and stay out of bankruptcy.
Well, it's easy to get into bankruptcy. Tell Todd and the rest of our guests about this toothbrush that I read about.
Well, on my website, I do have what I call the world's most expensive toothbrush. It is on a hospital bill. It was $1,004.50. And the ironic thing is the person that actually was billed for it had a car accident and wasn't allowed to brush his teeth, so he didn't get to use it anyway. And I did find out that there is a $4,000 toothbrush hospital bill floating around that I do need to get my hands on so I can update my site, because I don't know if it's the world's most expensive anymore.
My spouse just spent 10 days in the hospital back in September, so looking at that itemized bill of expenses, it's quite amazing what that looks like and what
And the explanations of benefits. Most people just throw them away and it says this is not a bill, and an explanation of benefits is your map and your insight to how something was or was not processed correctly. And I always recommend that you take those explanations and match them up with the provider that's billing you. And if you see that you've got bills and no explanation to match it, that may mean that the insurance company does not have the doctor's bill and you need to call and make sure that that happens. Anything that gets done by the insurance company, you should get an explanation of benefits, and you do need to keep them and match them up and look at any denied remarks on there. They'll have codes saying need more information, pre-existing, out of network, and you really need to see why they're saying they're not going to pay that claim.
What percentage of those documents? I mean, just from my wife's recent medical adventures with this hospital visit, I've gotten a 3-inch stack of stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't even really wanted to look at it. And that's probably what you're saying, is I should be more thoroughly analyzing and reviewing that material. But what is the best advice you can give a typical person who's dealing with something like that, and how they should better manage all this information and so that they don't leave themselves open to trouble down the road?
Well, one thing is to keep in touch with the providers that are billing you to stay out of collections. That's extremely important. And keep in touch with the insurance company. Make sure that everybody's got the same information. If you've got a stack of bills, separate them. Like I said, take the doctor's bill, find the explanation of benefits that meets that particular date or a service doctor, and match them up. And then you'll have a better idea of what you need to pay, and you should become familiar with your policy, know what's your deductible and your co-insurance, which could be 20 or 30% that you have to pay after your deductible, and also try to stay in network. And if you want to shop around, there are websites out there in Georgia. They have www.gahospitalpricecheck.com. And about 20 to 30 states have hospital pricing online, so you could actually look up if you have anything that's elective and it's not an emergency, and shop around and see what the prices are. Also, try to stay with a nonprofit hospital versus a for-profit hospital. It will cost you less money. And for those that are uninsured, it is the best way to shop around and try to get something in writing before you actually have the service.
Well, what we've been talking about so far is on the assumption that you have insurance. So what do you offer those who don't have insurance or may be underinsured?
What I recommend, again, is going online and checking prices, also trying to negotiate with your providers, ask them to match the PPO rate that an insurance company would get. Use a university hospital if you're uninsured. They sometimes have clinical trials, which will give you free or inexpensive care for your medical problem. And things to be aware of: if you go to the emergency room and you get a bill, you're going to get probably an emergency room doctor bill. It is usually not covered under the facility, which is the actual hospital or the ER. The doctors do have their own set of billing offices. They are not usually linked with the hospital. If you had an x-ray, you may have a radiologist bill, and if they did any kind of tissue sample, you'll have a pathologist bill. You may not meet these people, but you will get a bill from them, and it is helpful to try and negotiate. Ask for a discount, ask for an insurance discount, and some of them will work with you on that.
Well, and I think that's great advice, to pay attention to your explanation of benefits. I know when one of those comes to me, when it says this is not a bill, I mean, I'm so relieved. I probably just throw it in the trash and don't pay any attention to it. But I think, you know, even I might pick up a $1,000 toothbrush or $100 aspirin. But what's some of the hospital lingo that we ought to be looking out for?
Well, they do have some lingo, like a cough support device. I've seen it on a bill for about $58 after someone had a heart attack, to hold against your chest. In reality, it's a real cute teddy bear, and you think it's a gift, and they call it cough support device on your bill, and it is about $58.
Ay-yi-yi.
Or something that I thought was kind of funny, it's called a Fred. fog reduction elimination device for around $48, and it actually was a 2x2 piece of gauze used to wipe moisture off a lens, but it was coded as a fog reduction elimination device. Or an oral administration fee is the charge for handing you the pills in a cup while you are hospitalized, not the cost of the pills. That's under your pharmacy, but handing you the pill, and there could be a $5 or $7 charge for each pill in that cup. And if you are in the hospital, it pays to write down what doctors do come in or have someone keep up with what's going on so you don't get bills from people that you really have not seen.
So where can some of our listeners go on the internet to find advocate resources? Because I know they listen to the High Velocity Radio show during most of their working day, but at some point they might not have us tuned in. What are some websites they can go to?
Well, the Bill Advocates website, which is all of us, the Medical Billing Advocates of America. There is about 80 of us nationwide, and that's www.billadvocates.com. There are some nonprofit organizations, the Alliance of Claims Assistant Professionals, www.claims.org, and a Patient Advocate Foundation, www.patientadvocate.org. And the media does want to know about these problems that consumers are having. MSNBC wants to hear your medical bill disaster stories. And the Huffington Post is investigating denied insurance claims. And so if you're in that situation, it would pay to go check out those two sites because they're really trying to help people. And if you have a problem and you're not getting anywhere, using the media does help. If anybody heard last week, there was a child too fat to be insured. And then because it went on TV, all of a sudden the insurance company changed their mind and did insure the child. And this past week there was one that was too thin to be insured. And telling your story on today's show, all of a sudden they turned around and covered the little girl. So that does help. Look for a consumer or an investigative reporter in your town. They could help you.
Does the advent of social media, which is a more transparent, more open form of communication, does that transparent nature of that medium, is that helping your all's battle? And that some of the stuff is some of these expensive toothbrushes and ridiculous denials, is more of that coming to light now? Is that helping your battle that you're fighting?
Oh, most definitely. I love Twitter and TweetDeck, and I will post these media websites that want to help those and also give them stories. And then I get a lot of posts and feedback from others in the healthcare industry. And I personally love TweetDeck and do use Facebook, but I'm on a Twitter person. And I am Bill Advocate on Twitter.
Bill Advocate. It's at Bill Advocate. You know, I'm just curious. What on average, what percentage of a medical bill you get has an error on it?
Well, whether it's the medical bill or the insurance explanation, I'd say at least 80 to 90% there's an error somewhere. And people just don't see them, or they'll pay it just for it to go away because it is a headache to fight it. But if you are persistent, there's a good chance you'll win and
so
have it handled.
Let me repeat. You're saying on a typical average medical bill or explanation of benefits, there's an error on 80 to 90% of those.
At least of what I've seen in the last 18 years, that's a good figure.
So that just tells you that you've got to pay close attention to that. And I just, it's like Stone tossing away his explanation of benefits or this is not a bill. I think too many people are doing that. But I think the point you're making too is that people just don't feel like they have the time or the energy to fight that. And that's kind of what you guys do to help fight those battles.
It is a long, drawn-out session that we do go through. Like I said, it should be one call to have something changed, and it now is a 7-hour ordeal. And you really have to become your own advocate and pay attention, have a clue of what your insurance policy does. If you're not sure, call the insurance company and talk with the supervisor, go up the ladder, and definitely fight for yourself. Try to match up your bills and see. Just don't write a check unless you're sure you really owe that.
But if I want to avoid all that headache, can I just write you a check and hand you the paperwork and you'll handle it for me? Or
I'll take your headache any day.
Well, part of what I'm getting at is, God love you. I think you're doing great work, but you got to make money too. How do you make money? What's the fee structure for getting some professional help on something like this?
Well, in our association, everybody has their own company, and there is no set fee structure. Depending on the situation, we all pretty much will give the free consultation like a law firm, get an idea if we can help you, give some tips. You may take those tips and just handle it yourself. If you find that you need our help, depending on the amount of paperwork you want to give us, there may be a setup fee. We can get hundreds of pages at a time and see, and we do have to organize them and see if there is an issue and if we can help you. And then as we go along working on your different problems, there may be a percentage that we ask for at the end that we save you on what you were being billed.
You mentioned that you're active on Twitter, and now that you've been on High Velocity Radio, your phone will be off the hook. But how does Medical Refund Service go to market? How do you tell people about your services?
Well, right now it's, I hate to say, really good. People are really finding us all over because they are being their own consumers. They are seeing mistakes. Many years ago when I joined during the dot-com industry, people just said, we don't care, we'll expense it. Well, now it's a lot more important. I've taken someone in California who was about to lose his home and everything and fought that insurance company for 4 months and then got them to pay $50,000 more, and this person was able to save their home and actually refinance where originally they were about to go into bankruptcy. So we are all over the web. If you just search for help with medical bills or go to billadvocates.com, you'll see there. All over, it doesn't matter what state we're in, we can help you. I've done bills from India in rupees, and I've got them reimbursed by insurance, and as well as pesos. Somebody who was in Mexico during one of those hurricanes, they wouldn't let him on the plane without the American Express card and came home with all these bills in pesos, which I had handled, and that was with two insurance companies. So also, if you need prescriptions, you can use warehouse clubs, Costco and Sam's. You can go online, check prices. You do not have to be a member. You can use those clubs to get discounted prescriptions.
I'll be darned. I'll tell you what, give us, we're just about out of time. Give us one good website and or phone number as a starting place. If we want to, you know, start to look at, we got the stack of medical bills. Where should we start? What's the best place?
Well, you can call me, and I would also set you up with the right advocate if I'm not the one to help you, and that is area code 770-517-2356. My website is www.medicalrefundservice.com, or you can go to billadvocates.com and select somebody that's closer to you. But it doesn't matter what state we're in. You just want the advocate that's perfect for your needs.
Great information. I am so glad that we had you come in the studio this morning. I know, Todd, you've got to be, you know, with some of the medical adventures that you've been involved with lately. Cindy, we're not going to let you off the hook just yet. We are just about out of time. But you saw that we put our other guest on the hot seat. And we'd like to do the same with you, if you don't mind. I wonder if you would share with us a mistake that you've made at some point in your career and what you feel like you learned from it.
Personally, I guess not being an insurance agent sooner, I had been in the world of typewriters and word processing and actually tried to sell scanners in 1980, and nobody got it. And I'm glad I'm out of that field, and I fell into insurance right after selling computers, and I wish I had fallen into it a lot sooner. But I am an expert in this area and try to help as many people as I can.
So you wish you would have gotten in this earlier, sooner?
Yes, I actually love what I do, and the results are outstanding.
Well, I appreciate you not being redundant. You know, sometimes the different guests will share essentially the same mistake. You know, our last guy said he didn't shave his head quickly enough. I thought, oh no, Cindy's going to say the same thing. But no, you came in with some original thought, and we genuinely appreciate it.
I really appreciate the opportunity to help anybody that's listening, and maybe someone will start matching up their bills and not just write that check.
I'm still wigging out over the 80 to 90% error rate.
I can know. You fell out of your chair when she said that.
You can look at your bills. You'll probably see.
Well, that would be an important first step, actually looking at your bills. Yes.
Yeah, there's an idea. Yep.
There could be a $30 thermometer on there.
Well, I tell you what, Todd, it's been a fun, informative, and inspiring show. What a great day at the office, huh?
Another hard day of labor, yes.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Todd Schnick, Ramon Williamson, Cindy Holtzman. our producer Lee Cantor, and everyone at the Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.